I'm Jean Stillwell, your host on Classical Mornings on the new Classical FM. Opera Etelier is proud to announce the launch of the company's 40th anniversary celebration with co-artistic directors Marshall Pinkowski and Jeanette Lajeunesse-Zings. Internationally acclaimed production of Marc-Antoine Charpentier's French Baroque masterpiece, David and Jonathan. Marshall joins me in the studio now to talk about it. Congratulations, 40th!
Unbelievable. I don't know where the time went, but it's just as thrilling and nerve-wracking as it was 40 years ago.
Marshall, do you remember when we were at the art gallery?
Oh, yes, I remember. You were singing
Julius Caesar. Well done.
Yeah, I mean,
40 years ago.
Beyond belief.
Amazing.
You know, it just flies by. But it flies by because we love what we're doing.
Yes. And also, what I loved so much about that production was the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
And the costumes and the dance and the movements, which honor Opera Etelier and your whole raison d'être.
Yes, absolutely.
So congratulations for this.
Thank you.
Now, I want to know, David and Jonathan, this sounds very exciting, Marshall. Tell me, how is it that you were able to or invited to the Royal Chapel in Versailles to direct this?
Well, you know, we've had an ongoing relationship now for 10 years with the Chateau de Versailles, but in the Royal Opera House.
Okay.
And that happened because we started touring there ourselves with all of Tafel Music. We took 80 people on tour on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Then after COVID, all of that started to disappear. I mean, everyone was watching their pennies, even Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started bringing just Jeanette and me back with a few of our dancers, but with the orchestra from France and with major French singers. And in this particular case, Christiane Lacroix doing all of the costumes.
Right.
So it's we were invited to come back and create a new production of David and Jonathan, but the director of Chateau de Versailles Spectacle, Laurent Brunet, had an incredible idea. He wanted to have it staged in the Royal Chapel, which is one of the most beautiful buildings or beautiful spaces
Baroque
in the palace.
Settings.
Yes.
Perfect.
It had never been used before for a production, for any theater production. You know, it's still a functioning chapel.
Right.
Built for Louis XIV by Mansart. It's just magnificent. But because this had a liturgical theme, it's a story from the Old Testament. This is David the giant killer we're talking about. They agreed that we would be allowed to produce in there. They brought in Antoine Fontaine, one of the great set designers in France, and he created a gigantic stage set, and none of it was allowed to touch the building itself. It had to be freestanding.
Wow.
Because, of course, the building is an artifact.
Of course, that makes so much sense.
So they were able to fit in 1,000 people per performance.
Yes.
Sold out before it opened. Critics flew in from Israel, from across the United States, from all over Europe. But it was this opportunity to stage an opera that we had never dreamed of doing in Toronto. We had never dreamed of doing there.
Okay.
A very unusual piece, a very highly, highly dramatic piece that had its premiere in 1688.
Mm-hmm.
It was written for Louis XIV, but it took place at that time in a college, in a royal college for young men who were preparing, young aristocrats, for careers in the military.
Okay.
But if you can imagine, at that time, if you were preparing for a career in the military and you were the elite, that included, you had to study dancing, you studied swordplay, studied singing, you studied music. That was all part of your training.
Wow.
So all of the roles in the original production were taken by young aristocrats or their teachers.
Mm-hmm. So now, can you give me a quick précis, because I want to talk about so much more, about a quick précis of the story of this piece.
You know, the opera starts after David has slain Goliath, the huge giant that was threatening the army of Israel. And David, you know, has made an incredible reputation for himself. He starts to build himself into an important warrior. And he's extremely important to the king of Israel, King Saul. King Saul is someone who suffers from incredible depression and terrible rages. And they discover that the only thing that could calm him was the beauty of someone singing and of a musical instrument. And David, like aristocrats, is not only a great warrior, he had a beautiful voice and he could play the lyre. So he became inseparable from Saul and Saul's son, Jonathan. But as David becomes more and more powerful as a warrior, Saul becomes more and more obsessed. To make a long story short, by the end, he's actually tried to kill David. David has had to leave the court for his own safety. And despite the intense love that he and Jonathan have for each other, and this is what really the opera hinges on, that relationship, they have to decide between love and duty. Jonathan has to support his father. David has to support himself and Israel, because there's a madman running Israel. It ends up in a battle. Jonathan dies in David's arms. Saul dies in David's arms. David is announced as king of Israel with incredible music, incredible fanfare and celebration. But the last words David says in this opera, the last words of the opera is, "I have lost everything I love. For me, all is lost." Oh. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Now, I'm very excited to know that you are staging this at Kerner Hall,
yes.
A concert venue.
Yes.
You've got to tell me about that.
Well,
I mean, sorry for interrupting, but I'm very excited about this new set you're going to have designed.
Because David and Jonathan was never conceived for a proscenium theater, it was simply for a huge, spectacular space. We thought, let's not use a proscenium. Let's go to an unconventional setting. But at the same time, we have to turn it into a theatrical setting.
Sure.
But we don't want to look like we're apologizing for the fact that it's a concert hall. We want to use the concert hall. We actually went to two of Toronto's great philanthropists, Jerry and Joan Lozinski.
Okay.
And asked if they would be willing to support us over the next 4 years to start building major architectural elements that could be added to Kerner Hall, just like what we had in Versailles, that is not going to touch the hall, it's not going to be drilled in or infringe on anything, but it lives on its own, freestanding. We're talking about staircases, columns, pillars. And as Gerard Gauthier, our designer, said, he wants a huge, magnificent Lego set that he can move around and reconfigure any way that he wants. So every year for the next 4 years, the Lozinskis have made a massive donation for us to continue adding architecturally. So when we do Pelléas et Mélisande, which is coming up next year, that will have more architecture built for
us. That's great.
So this will be the first time we're really unveiling everything that we imagined for what we're calling our Kerner Hall Reimagined project.
So does this mean then that would the singers have to adjust some of the pieces on the set? I mean, are they involved in it?
No, the set will be freestanding.
Yeah.
And David and Jonathan doesn't require changes of location. The locations are suggested in terms of what people say.
Oh, I see.
And also
that
lighting.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah. And again, because it was never made for a proscenium stage, there were no sort of flying cues. It wouldn't have been in the original production. It's not in ours. It has everything to do with lighting, and of course we have this stupendous Kimberly Pertell, who's doing our lighting for
and
us.
Gorgeous costumes.
Yes.
Oh my
gorgeous
goodness.
Costumes and amazing storytellers. I mean, we have surrounded ourselves with some of our favorite opera atelier singers, but also two extraordinary young singers from Versailles, one of whom is making their North American debut with this. That's David Witsack, who is singing the role of Saul, one of the greatest singing actors I have ever encountered. The other, Antonin Rondepierre, who was already here singing in our production of Acis and Galatea, singing the role of Acis last year. I had a tremendous success with him. So we're thrilled to be bringing them back. The French consulate in Toronto is making it possible for us
to
bring them to Toronto.
Great.
Yeah, so our entire corps de ballet, Tafel Music Chamber Choir, one of the largest orchestras and choirs we will ever have had in one of our productions. It's a celebration of 40 years.
And I'm excited to, with these French singers coming over, they must have, am I right about this, that they have a wonderful influence on the rest of the cast as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it is, the singing, everyone has their own singing style. We think of Italian singing, we think of French singing.
Yes.
And we can learn so much from each other, particularly when we're dealing with repertoire like this. This is mother's milk to these singers. And what what they bring, not just in terms of language, but in terms of ornamentation, how they approach this music.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a lot to learn from us. They'd be the first to admit it. They are amazed at the strength of our singers, at their vocal health. And so really, they learn from us in terms of intensity. We learn from them in terms of style.
I love that. What a great partnership right there.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited for you, Marshall. I think
Thank
this
you,
is
Jean.
One. And Jeanette, I think this is just wonderful. Opera Atelier is announcing the 40th anniversary celebration with Marc-Antoine Champantier's French Baroque masterpiece, David and Jonathan. It's taking place from April 9th to 13th at Kerner Hall. For tickets, go to operaatelier.com/subscribe. Or by calling 416-703-3767, extension 700. Really nice to see you, Marshall, and thank you so much for coming
here.
In today.
Thank you, Jean.